and welcome to the Victory Devotional Podcast. We invite you to take the next few minutes to connect with God, hear His voice, and respond in worship and prayer. Here's today's message.
You know, as mentioned before in the previous devotions, Hebrews is known as the book of better things. And we will see that there's a lot of contrasts in this book between the old and the new covenant, the high priest, the sacrifices, the sanctuary, covenant, promises, etc. So there's a lot of, the old and the new, a comparison of the old and the new. We have a better covenant. Now, this particular section in the book of Hebrews focuses once again on the priesthood of Jesus. Now, in the Old Testament, a priest is a representative of the people to God. And the high priest offers gifts and sacrifices in the temple for the sins of the people so that they can be accepted by God. Of course, we know that that is an imperfect sacrifice. The people would come and, bring goats or sheep or dove and bring them to the high priest. And the high priest would sacrifice them as an acceptable offering before the Lord. I'm glad that we're not doing that today anymore. Can you imagine if in your service, you see one of your friends bring a bull and another one bring a goat, and another one bring a dove? You can just compare, okay, what did you do this time, bro? And so we don't do that anymore. And so gone were the days that we need a high priest as one who would offer sacrifices in the temple. So, what is the duty of a high priest is to mediate. You know, it's like I'm thinking of an example. It's like when you fight with your wife and you're not in speaking terms. Now, I'm pretty sure that you can probably relate with me if you're married. So what do you do? Maybe you'll ask one of your children, maybe your daughter, to go to her mom in order to help mediate in the fight. I'm not really sure if that's your style. Maybe you send flowers and chocolates, but she ignores them. And so you think, what's the better way to do it? So you buy a new iPhone and then you let your daughter give it. And then your wife looks at the iPhone, cools down, and accepts. Of course, this is just a hypothetical example. I'm not sure if you're doing this, such an expensive way to be reconciled. But in this particular case, your daughter was acting like a priest. Now, in verse 1, it says, now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who's seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. We see Jesus taking his seat at the right hand of the throne. Now, sit down, it's not just to relax. Of course, when we sit down nowadays, go home, take off your shoes, you want to relax, you sit on your sofa, you sit down, it's talking about relaxation. But when you see the picture of Jesus sitting down at the right hand, it doesn't mean that he is relaxing or not working. Sitting down emphasizes the finished work of the offering of the ultimate and the once and for all sacrifice, which is Jesus himself. It does not mean that he is inactive while sitting, but he is constantly interceding for us. Now, we are grateful and we appreciate the intercessors that we have in church who pray for us regularly, who pray for the people regularly, who stand in the gap, pray for the nation. These are people who are constantly just seeking the Lord and standing in the gap. We appreciate our intercessors. But can you imagine, there is not a comparison to the ultimate intercessor who is praying from a standpoint of victory and of power. Jesus is not sleeping. He is praying for us. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. Hindi tulog ang Lord. Hindi tulog ang Diyos. And some of you need to hear that. Jesus is not sleeping on you. Jesus is fully aware of what's happening to you. Jesus is fully aware of what you're going through right now. your emotions, your mental health, your physical problems, your financial woes, your relational problems, your marriage, your children, fill in the blanks. He knows exactly what you're going through, and He is interceding for us. Jesus is praying for you to be strong. He's praying for us to finish well. And there are three things that we can actually find in this particular passage. Of course, there's a lot more that we can actually talk about, but we only have 10 minutes for the encouragement of the word this morning. So three things that are better with Jesus as the high priest. First is we have a better ministry, or He has a better ministry. In verse 6, it says, "But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old." And I'd like to quote from Leon Morris, and he said this, "The ministry of priests in a sanctuary made according to the heavenly pattern is obviously one of great dignity. But the author's point is that Jesus' ministry in the heavenly archetype is of incomparably greater dignity and worth." You know, the Old Testament priests can only enter the Holy of Holies once a year to offer a sacrifice that has to be done yearly or annually. Now, the ministry of Jesus is so much better than the Old Testament priests. He did not just offer a sacrificial lamb. He is the sacrificial lamb, the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's why that is a better ministry as the better high priest. Second thing about this, comparison of the old and the new is we now have a better covenant. In the second part of verse 6, it says that as the covenant He mediates is better. Just say better. We have a better covenant. The new covenant is not going to be like the old covenant. The old covenant, for example, is physical in nature. And maybe you're familiar with the covenant that God made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And this is a physical covenant, physical in nature. And the covenant promise of God with Abraham and his descendants are physical promises like land. You know, I'm going to give you this land, or every foot that you step on will be yours. You know, can you imagine if you try to, claim that same promise today? You know, you're walking in BGC. You know, every foot that you step on will be yours. You know, I don't think you'll own that land today. Okay, but back in the day in the Old Testament, every promise that was made according to the Old Covenant was physical in nature. Food, for example, children, that you're going to be blessed in your womb, safety from your enemies, victory over those who will oppress you, etc. And so these are physical promises. And the sign of the old covenant is also physical in nature. God told Abraham to circumcise. So the sign of the covenant back in the day is circumcision, that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all their descendants, as a sign of the covenant between the people of God and God Himself, should be circumcision. The old covenant is a physical covenant with physical promises and with a physical sign. But not with the new covenant. The new covenant has a spiritual nature. Now, I don't know about you. If you're going to compare, for example, what is better, physical or spiritual? The natural or the supernatural? Of course, we'd say that because we're here in this world, we'd say the physical is nice, but the reality is the supernatural is more powerful than the natural realm. That's why it's called supernatural. You get it? It's more permanent. It's eternal, it's lasting, it's not just for the here and for the now. Now, the physical things, they deteriorate, they get old, they depreciate, you know, whatever it is, your car, your house, whatever it is, whatever physical, our bodies, we get old. But the spiritual realm, they are getting renewed day by day. For example, the promise of God can be seen in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every" what? "Spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So the terms of the covenant are different. In the Old Testament, or in the Old Covenant rather, the Old Covenant terms or the blessings are physical, and the sign is physical, but in the New Covenant, or in the New Covenant, it's spiritual in nature. Now, even the terms of the covenant are different. You know, when you talk about the terms of the covenant, it's kind of like signing a contract, and you see the different fine print or the conditions on how it will be binding between the two parties. That is, those are the terms of the covenant. And so the Old Covenant is a covenant of obedience. You would see that in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it talks about, the whole chapter talks about promises of God when we disobey, when we obey, and curses when we disobey. Now, we will see that in the Old Covenant, if we obey, we will be blessed. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 2, we will read that all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of your God. So can you imagine the terms of the Old Covenant is everything about obedience. You obey the Ten Commandments. You obey the, you know, the law of God, the Mosaic law. Now, how many of you would say that that is a hard thing to do, to comply, to follow the terms of the covenant? That's the reason why with the high priest or the ministry of Jesus, we now have a better covenant under his priesthood, because the terms of the new covenant is so much different from the old covenant. We're familiar with this scripture in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes, everybody say believe, believe, whoever believes in him should not perish, but will have eternal life. Now, the terms of the old covenant is about obedience, but the terms of the new covenant is about faith and belief in Jesus. In fact, Jesus lived out the obedience for us. Too good to be true? Yes, we just need to believe. We're not saved because we obey. We are saved because we believe. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, the Apostle Paul also writes about this, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works or obedience, so that no one may boast. So you see here in this particular passage, in the passages in the New Testament, salvation is really a gift. It is not a result of obedience nor works. You can never boast about salvation because you have kept the law or you obeyed the law. That is part of the old covenant, but the new covenant is different. The new covenant talks about Jesus did it for us, and all we have to do is to believe in the finished work of Christ on the cross, and with that, we're saved. Jesus, as the high priest, offered the ultimate sacrifice of his life on that cross so that you and I may live. He lived the perfect life that we should have lived. Does this mean that we don't have to obey? Well, by no means. The Apostle Paul also said that. Obedience is now the proof of our faith as we follow Jesus. We now obey because of the relationship that we have in Christ. The old covenant is based on what you do, but the new covenant is now based on what Jesus did. A perfect covenant, much better covenant. And I'd like to end with this, better promises. Third point is better promises. In verse 6, the third part is, since it is enacted on better promises. Jesus has a better ministry with a better covenant on better promises. Hewitt talks about this, and I'd like to quote, the Mosaic covenant was a covenant of law, but the new covenant is a covenant of promise, and the Son of God is the surety or the guarantee that the promises will be fulfilled. The old covenant, though educative, was impotent and temporary. The new covenant is redemptive, dynamic, and eternal. Jesus fulfilled the law, and we enjoy the benefit of the covenant with God because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. We have better promises. And guess what? You know, if you look at the scriptures and if you open the Bible, there are thousands of promises that's available for us because of what Jesus Christ did for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, "For all," everybody say all the promises of God. There's not one that's exempt. All the promises of God find their yes in Him. In who? In Christ. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory. And there are thousands of promises in the Bible that are available for us believers. Not because we deserve them, but because through faith in Jesus, they are available for us who believe. I hope that this simple and short devotion will encourage you today, knowing full well that our Lord Jesus Christ did not just go to heaven and leave us here on earth, but He is today constantly interceding for us so that we can actually finish strong and enjoy this covenant we have with God based on a better ministry, better terms, better promises. Let's just pray right now. Father, thank you so much for our time together. And we thank you that the Lord Jesus has indeed fulfilled everything because of His perfect life here on earth and because He was willing to sacrifice and go to the cross to die and purchase us from our sins. We thank you for the better ministry of Christ. Thank you for better covenant. That it's not just because we work or do things that we are saved. It's because of the faith that we have in Jesus because He already did it for us. And thank you, Lord God, that each promise that you have given, because we are children of Abraham, it's also available for all of us. And it is yes and amen through Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's just continue to worship the Lord right now before we end in a time of benediction.
You reign forever, God. We declare you reign. Oh. When I was so lost, you chose to love someone like me, so that I could live. You gave your life upon that cross. Jesus, you won it all. You reign forever.
Thank you, Lord. Let me just pray for you before we go. Father, thank you so much once again for our time together. And I pray that you bless everyone who's listening to this devotion. And even for those of us who will share this on, Lord, we thank you that your presence is not bound by space nor time. And we thank you, Lord God, that indeed these are all available because you have opened the access so that we can be enjoying your presence every single day. We thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for your blessing upon each one of us, Lord God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn His face toward you and grant you peace. May the love of our Heavenly Father be with you always, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon us all. In Jesus' name we pray. amen and amen. Well, once again, thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll see you again. God bless you all.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope this helps you build a habit of hearing from God daily. For more messages like these, follow us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to watch these messages live every morning, visit us on facebook.com/victoryph.